Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday, January 24th. The transportation bill, backed by Senate Republicans in Colorado, got its first hearing yesterday. Bensa Berkland talked to other State House reporters about that and other issues as part of our weekly Capitol Conversation series during the legislative session.
We're joined by Ed Sealover with the Denver Business Journal and Marianne Goodland with Colorado Politics. Ed, the signature bill of the session for the Republican Senate is coming up on transportation infrastructure funding. Talk a little bit about that measure.
Yeah, Senate Bill 1 would require the state to put aside about $300 million a year in the general fund budget going forward from new tax revenues that are coming in, and would then bond up to $3.5 billion worth of bond sales to take care of all of the major highway projects on the top tier list in this state. We're talking things like between I-25, between Fort Collins and Denver. We're talking about I-70 through the mountains, things such as that. This is a subject that everyone wants to attack, but not with the same ferocity. House Democrats especially have been reluctant to say how much they want to put toward transportation. Governor John Hickenlooper has said he wants to put about $150 million a year, half of what the Senate Republicans want, toward transportation funding. The Denver Metro Chamber of Commerce has said it still wants to move ahead with a tax hike measure on the November ballot, asking people to create a new revenue stream dedicated solely to transportation funding, whereas a number of other business groups, 21 of them to be exact, said, no, we back the Senate Republicans in what they're doing. We don't want a tax hike, or at least that's not our first option. We want this to come from the budget. So everything kind of comes to a head on Tuesday with this first hearing, and we're going to get an idea of how much people are going to be willing to budge on all these numbers they've put out there and how much transportation really is a top priority here.
We're kind of waiting to see just exactly how Speaker of the House Chrisanta Duran of Denver wants to handle this. She has been fairly unclear about exactly what she wants, though she was part of the sponsors last year for a measure that would have gone to the voters to ask for a hike in the sales tax. And it would not surprise anyone if she wanted to see something similar to that this year. She has been open to the idea of using some of this excess revenue that has surfaced in recent weeks for transportation. And Governor John Hickenlooper had put $148 million of this unexpected surplus toward transportation in his 2018-19 budget proposal.
Another big topic that recently made some headway was the Colorado Energy Office. It cleared its first committee that'll be making its way through the Senate. First, it's a Senate bill. It has bipartisan support. It was a very contentious bill last year and didn't end up getting state funding.
Yeah, and I think the big news is that it cleared with bipartisan support, a 9-2 vote to get out of the Senate Agriculture and Energy Committee. This is a bill that would reshape the Energy Office in some ways by removing the word renewable, which may not sound like a big deal, but that basically means it could do more to promote traditional fuel sources and fuel sources such as nuclear and hydroelectricity that are spelled out in the bill. A lot of people thought Democrats would fight this one. They fought it last year when there was a lot more things in the bill, including striking tax breaks for electric vehicles and some other provisions. It was pared down a bit this year. The sponsor wanted to require the Colorado Energy Office director to be approved by the Senate, but once he took that provision out of the bill during its first hearing, Democrats largely seemed to fall in line behind this. Could be a big victory for the Republicans in the Senate.
Another issue that is starting to surface around here is the use of recycled water, and that's water that has domestic wastewater that has been purified, filtered, and disinfected. And there are now at least four bills, and more to come, I'm told, on using recycled water for marijuana cultivation, industrial hemp, toilet flushing, and a bill that just was introduced on Thursday for food crops. This is an interesting issue that we're going to hear a lot about, I think, this year.
Thanks, Marianne Goodland with Colorado Politics, and Ed Sealover with the Denver Business Journal. I'm Bente Berkland, and this is Capitol Conversation.
Colorado traffic fatalities are up 25% in the past 3 years, and state legislators will be asked to support tougher seatbelt laws to address the problem. Roz Brown has the story.
Colorado traffic fatalities climbed for the second year in a row in 2017, and supporters of Senate Bill 53 think tougher seatbelt laws could reduce the numbers. State Senator from Denver, Lois Court, will present the bill to the Senate Affairs Committee today. Colorado is one of only 17 states with a secondary offense rather than primary offense seatbelt law. That means police officers are only allowed to ticket a driver or passenger not wearing a seatbelt if the car is pulled over for some other reason. CDOT spokesman Sam Cole estimates 22 deaths could be prevented each year with a primary seatbelt law.
Well, states that have primary seatbelt laws tend to have greater use of seatbelts, which translates into lives saved.
The number of Colorado traffic fatalities has risen 25% in the past 3 years. Opponents of the primary law say they don't like putting more pressure on police officers and that stricter laws impinge on personal freedom. 90% of drivers across the nation use their seatbelts, while only 84% of Colorado drivers buckle up. Cole says that's partly why the state is seeing an average of 2 people killed on Colorado roadways every day.
You can be the best driver on the road, but you never know when a drunk driver or a drowsy driver or a distracted driver, those are our 3 Ds, may be out there and presents a threat to you. You need to do everything you can to protect yourself, so that's why you need to buckle up.
CDOT argues the primary law is necessary because in addition to fatalities, 2,300 serious injuries were related to traffic accidents last year, driving up health care costs for all Coloradans. SB 53 also would require all passengers in private vehicles, not just the driver and front seat passenger, to buckle up. For Colorado News Service, I'm Roz Brown.
And in a follow-up to our Capitol conversation, the Republican transportation bill cleared its first committee yesterday, despite strong opposition from the executive branch. Benta Berkland has more.
Senate Bill 1 would set aside about $300 million in the state budget for roads and bridges to pay off bonds. It would ask voters this fall to issue those bonds for some of the major projects on I-25 and I-70. Republican Senator John Cook of Greeley is one of the main sponsors. He believes congestion and unfinished projects are impacting the quality of life.
Since roads and bridges are the top priority for the citizens of Colorado, roads and bridges should be afforded the highest priority for the state lawmakers in writing the state budget. Because if not now, when?
But 3 state agencies were among those testifying against it: the Department of Corrections, Human Services, and Higher Education. They're saying locking the state into long-term bond payments could impact their agency budgets down the line. The bill passed. All Democrats voted no. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.